You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
It's Pat Rigsby here again with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today, my special guest is Melanie Ash and perhaps the dog in the background.
Sorry.
Melanie is the owner of Fitness Evolution in Columbus, Ohio. And welcome, Melanie.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Well, so tell us a little bit more about you and your business.
Okay. So I own a small personal training studio, and we do groups of 4 to 6. And so we do all small group personal training. I had started in the industry doing more of a one-on-one situation, and I had originally had a business called Melanie Ash Fitness, where I worked out of another gym after working for other commercial gyms previously. And then we always had this dream of opening our own space and being able to really create a client experience that we thought was unique and special. And the opportunity came up in April of 2017 to lease the studio space. And at that time, we changed the name to Fitness Evolution and kind of adjusted our branding. And ever since then, we've been focused on just really growing our community within that space, and I've been working on just growing the business, starting to hire on a small staff and kind of get beyond just me in a one-on-one scenario.
Very cool. So you primarily work with women in kind of a small group setting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Well, let's get into it. How can I help? What would you like to work on today?
So I would say our two biggest focuses right now are marketing and employee and staff development. So starting with the marketing side of things, we have really done very little marketing as far as actually paying for anything. And when it was just me and kind of just getting the studio going, we were still getting, you know, I guess enough leads to kind of get the ball rolling, but we're in a place now where we really need and want to grow. And we just are not sure exactly the best way to do that. I do get leads from client referrals, and I have an email list, and I've been sending out the emails, and we've done a little bit of Facebook advertising, but to not very much return. So I guess the biggest thing would be ideas on, you know, how to market and maybe ways that are a little bit less traditional.
So a really easy way to think about this is, you know, you're trying to position yourself as kind of like the mayor of women's fitness in, you know, whatever part of Columbus you're in. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're in Worthington or
Clintonville.
Okay. So you want to be the mayor of women's fitness there. And so if you were running for mayor, you've got a lot of different avenues to try to go gain people's vote, right? I mean, certainly you can do paid advertising on Facebook or on Instagram because you know they're in those places. But where else are the people that you want to serve? I mean, do they have kids that go to local elementary schools? Can you do something for the PTA? Do they frequent local salons or spas or grocery stores? Are there women's groups in the community that you can go build a relationship with? You know, really the key here is very much the same key as if you were running for office. You have to go find the people you'd be asking to vote for you, and then you've got to earn their vote. And here their vote is to come in and experience what you guys have to offer at Fitness Evolution. So when we think of it that way, I mean, yes, people running for office do all sorts of paid advertising through whatever media outlets are available, but they go speak to Rotary clubs. They go door to door. They put out yard signs. They don't limit themselves to just one marketing channel. Now, obviously, I'm not suggesting you need to go door to door and ask for people's attention in business that way. But, you know, you want to make sure that you're wherever your people are. And what's cool is you already have a clientele that you can say, well, you know what, these people live in this neighborhood or this subdivision, so I can market there. Does that subdivision, you know, does that homeowner association have their own newsletter? Do they have their own email list? Can I market that way? Can I have somebody do a posting for me on Nextdoor in their community? There are a lot of options. The thing that you probably have to keep in mind when you said, hey, I'd like to do some things that maybe are non-traditional, mm-hmm. would be there's always going to be an investment to get new clientele, and that you can invest more time or more money. And they're usually kind of inversely related. The more time you're willing to put into going out and networking and building relationships, you can probably get by with a little less out-of-pocket expense. But, you know, there's probably a limit to how much you can do of that, depending on how available you are. I mean, you know, there are plenty. I know here in my kind of neighborhood, there are plenty of kind of boutique-ish shops that would probably appeal to the type of people that might be interested in personal training. And they're independently owned and, you know, small cafes and coffee shops, independently owned. So they've got a little bit more flexibility to do some cross promotion with you too.
Okay. So if you were reaching out to a boutique like that, what would you do? How would you approach that? And what would you suggest?
Well, so the first thing I might do would be to ask any of my clients if they know the owner of that particular place, because it's always going to be better if you're not cold calling, right? So you can ask for an introduction. And then the second thing, and this probably holds true with any sort of professional relationship you want to develop, is you got to think about what is in it for them. And a lot of times you just want to ask, because all too often when somebody goes and forms a strategic alliance with another small business, we're always focused on kind of the gain that we stand to get out of it. But if you were to be introduced by a client of yours, you could say, yeah, Holly speaks really highly of you guys, and I just wondered if there's anything that I can do to support another local business and, you know, get the word out about what you do. And then they're probably going to share some ideas. And then more often than not, they're going to offer to reciprocate. And if they don't offer to reciprocate immediately, I probably wouldn't sweat that at all, because they may just want to kind of feel this out and see if it goes anywhere. But if you say, yeah, we'll hand out gift cards or gift certificates or share it in our local, like on our Facebook page, or share it in our email database, well, now you're offering to help them. Well, maybe they're going to be eager to reciprocate to you. And it could be as simple as them doing that same type of stuff. I mean, handing out a gift card to their customers. Maybe it's a gift card to anybody who makes a purchase over a certain amount. They'll get a $100 gift card for your services. Maybe it's sending out an email for an opt-in gift that you have, a lead magnet, where maybe you've got a holiday recipe guide, or you've got something of value to their audience that they can just give away as a gift. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of options that you have, but you always have to assume that they're busy. This was your idea. So you should probably be willing to take the lead, to take the initiative, and to kind of facilitate it continuing to move forward.
Okay. And then kind of moving slightly away from that, but staying in the area of, you mentioned, you know, having something that they could offer to their clientele, whether it be a lead magnet or what have you. We have been experimenting this month, just because it's December and, you know, things are kind of slow, with, for the first time ever, actually offering a free trial session. Because of the way that our business model is, we still do customize. And so we don't, you know, people don't just come in and normally we like to do a screening first and kind of there's a process there. But so for the first time we thought, why not? Let's see if we can get anybody to jump on coming in for a free session. And we're not having any success with that. But I was speaking with another studio owner here in the area and she said they do like a $10, you know, free trial week or something. And I know some folks in the group had talked about like a $1 workout. Do you have any thoughts on free versus a very low dollar amount? Because we're not trying to get those people who are just looking to come in, you know, what can you achieve with one workout? So it's almost like they need to have a little bit of an investment to get them to actually sign up and follow through. But at the same time, we're just trying to find ways to make it easier for people to come in and experience what we offer.
Well, the first part of it is I would tell you that one visit probably isn't enough of anything, whether it's free or paid, right? Because they've already got an opinion about what those visits look like from other experiences they've had. And those visits in other places have most often been just a sales pitch. So, I mean, if it were me, it might be, well, can somebody come in and experience what you do for a month? But maybe it's your two-time-a-week program for a month, and they can try it out for $199 or something. So it's a very concrete offer in that sense. I'm not against free when used as a really valuable tool, right? Like it can't – free can't be kind of displayed everywhere always or else – I mean, people don't believe it has any value. But if you were to go to each of your clients and say, look, we're going to give you a golden ticket that you can gift to a friend where they can experience what we do for 2 weeks free. Well, the clients know how much that's worth. And if they're not seeing you advertising free anywhere else, then now this has a perceived value. It's like you gave them a real tangible gift to give somebody. So you can use free in that way. And I think it works, but it's hard to say, well, hey, come do what we do for free or for $10 or whatever. I mean, if I were going to give somebody a week of something, it'd probably be, I mean, at least more like, I don't know. I mean, with what your normal prices are, it'd probably be $40 or $50 because ultimately, you know, you want people who are going to value what you have to offer and are looking for something in an ongoing way. That doesn't mean that, you know, $50 qualifies them as much as they want something long term. And so they're expecting to have to invest something.
For sure.
So I think using the relationships you have, I mean, how many clients do you guys have now?
65.
Yeah. I mean, so every one of those people know somebody else who either owns a business or would be a good client or might be able to introduce you to a group or a PTA or something like that. Your goal should be to go and get those people to just introduce you to other people, other opportunities, not necessarily to bribe them to bring somebody in. Because I don't think that's how you or I refer people, right? If we have a great experience, we're happy to spread the word. So I would just go and ask them, say, look, you know what? We're interested in growing right now, and I'd love your advice. I mean, you're a great client for us. We want to work with more people just like you, and I'd love to get your advice on how we might be able to connect with other people who, you know, probably are a lot like you. Now that's a compliment to them. So they're going to be flattered, right? They're going to feel even more connected to your business because they know now that you think of them that way. And they're going to give you a few ideas and they're going to be willing to make some introductions. And that's going to allow you to never really have to cold call to get business. And it allows you to probably spend a little bit less on just cold marketing, cold advertising.
For sure. We have a promotion coming up for January where we are doing you know, a nutrition and training kind of package. This is the first time we've done this too, where we're saying, you know, the nutrition challenge plus 3 times a week training at a discount from what we normally would charge for someone to come in. We're going to market to the email list. We're going to market it on Facebook and of course to our current clients. Is there anything else there that off the top of your head, other than what we just discussed, that you're like, you know, here's something you can try to just to make people aware of it?
I mean, really, it's a lot of the grassroots stuff. I mean, if you've got clients who live in a particular homeowner association, I mean, you could do an every door direct mail piece there. You could see if you could pay for them to just do a quick email to their database. I mean, most homeowners associations have that kind of that database that they can market to. Not all of them are willing to, but I would lean pretty heavily on, even if you're posting it on Facebook, incentivizing your clients to share it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could say, hey, if you guys, you know, for everybody that shares this on social media, we'll enter you into a drawing to win X.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's awesome. Moving away from the marketing piece, the second big focus that we have right now is on kind of growing our team and growing our staff. And I think for me, you know, there's always that constant struggle of balancing doing that, me leading still a lot of sessions and me still having time to work on the business. And there's kind of this catch-22 of, you know, handing off more, delegating more, but then I have to pay more to someone else while I'm not necessarily having the revenue to support that immediately. What's your advice there? Like how to balance those two things?
Do you have any sort of internship program yet?
Yes, I actually have someone interning with me now.
Okay. So I would tell you internships are probably the easiest path because then they are getting some benefit for learning kind of your way of doing things. I think that one of the things that I would recommend almost all business owners do, if they're going to essentially kind of hire themselves out of a job, is give yourself a kind of a timeline by which you're going to bring somebody in, and then you need to be able to move and make your time of equal or greater value. So you may say, okay, this person's going to come on board and within 60 days, I need to make those hours that I'm handing them worth at least as much as I was making before. And so that's going to force you to be more productive on, you know, anything from leadership to marketing to selling, you know, to just going out and being kind of the face of the business in the community. But give yourself that kind of quantifiable deadline.
Okay, I love that. And then this one, I don't know how much you can help with, but I'd like to hear your thoughts. A lot of the things that we've talked about are great, and they do require like going out there and being the face of your business. If you're an introverted person and you're not comfortable with or used to striking up conversations with strangers and kind of putting yourself out there, what do you recommend other than just sucking it up and doing it?
That's where I would use so much of the relationships I have with my clients to get introduce me. Mm-hmm. So I never feel like I'm ever having a cold conversation with somebody. I would do a lot of that. I would figure out if you're going to be doing things on social media, like figure out what platform you're comfortable with or what platform you're willing to do frequently enough to get comfortable with and just pick one. I mean, if that's Instagram, if that is Facebook, whatever, I think that even extroverts, unless they're extreme extroverts, probably aren't really excited about just going to cold networking events and trying to meet people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would say that you've got more than enough opportunity between just mastering one social media channel and really building off the relationships you already have. I mean, you've got 65 clients that each have their own network of people. I'm sure, you know, if you live anywhere close to your facility.
4 blocks.
There you go. Well, you've got relationships with other people there that you can, you know, just really never have to cold call anybody ever.
Okay. Any thoughts on affiliate relationships? So we have a couple of different places. As far as, we have a local company that we sell their protein powder, and we have a local meal delivery service that I utilize their meal delivery service. So we have discount codes, and I kind of talk about those things, but perhaps utilizing those relationships too, to kind of see if they would cross promote.
Yeah. I mean, if you know, there are always vendors that you're going to use that they've all got a database or relationships too. Of course. Yeah. I mean, I would go to the meal delivery service and say, hey, would you mind, even if it's just giving a gift card to everybody who gets a meal? I mean, you know, those people are already or at least, you know, people that get a meal within your particular market. Mm-hmm. I mean, those people are already willing to invest in being healthy and convenience. And so, you know, and they may or may not do it, but they certainly should understand that if the person that's buying their meals is also invested in fitness and exercise, that they're probably going to be a longer term customer.
Mm-hmm, for sure. That made me think of another question. So my husband and I kind of run the business together, and we went back and forth on this with Facebook ads. So I'm curious on your thoughts as far as radius. So most of your business, I would think, are going to come from pretty close to where you're located, because realistically, if there are obstacles for people to get there, they're not likely to stay long term. So when we were doing some Facebook ads and things, I wanted to stick pretty close to where we are. And I can't think of exactly like the mile radius, but he thought if we don't expand kind of to all of Columbus and some of the further out areas, that might be a 20, 25 minute drive to our location, that we're leaving an opportunity on the table, that because we do have some clients who do drive. A lot of them have been with me a really long time, and so they're going to go wherever I am. But in my mind, focusing on really people who are very close. I mean, I talked to a woman this morning who's technically right down the street, but it's a 10 minute drive, who was kind of like, I'm going to check and see if there's something more convenient. Do you have thoughts on that? Would you spend most of your time focusing on people who are very close?
I would probably do almost all my advertising for people who are close, knowing that if somebody comes from a greater distance, there's usually some other reason why they're doing it, right? Mm-hmm. They have a friend that goes there. They know you. Maybe, you know, there's something about what you offer that is very specific to them and their needs and their goals. So yeah, I would be really pretty narrow, I think. And there's enough population where you're at to do that. And it doesn't mean you don't take those other people from other areas. It's just, you're going to get the highest ROI with the people that are closest. So if you're going to look for those other people further out, lean on your current clients to spread the word in those areas instead of paying for it.
Got it. Love it. So another thing that I often struggle with is, this was brought up in the group so much too, about asking for the sale and kind of being able to stand behind what you charge. So the process that we have now for bringing in new prospects, just because my schedule can be so crazy, is I try to get them on the phone. If I get an email, you know, someone's interested, I try to get them on the phone as soon as possible to get through some of that pre-qualification, if you will. Like, you know, if they're close, if they're kind of a good fit, and then I try to get them in person so I can give them, you know, a little bit more of our pitch, for lack of a better word, before I show them the pricing. But inevitably, people are going to ask me on that call, what does it cost? And sometimes I try to give them a little bit of a range, just because I understand that for some people, if you throw out, you know, $200 a month, they're like, yeah, totally outside of what I was thinking, not going to happen. But I don't feel like I do it very well. And I feel like I worry that I'll blow it by answering that question wrong before I have a chance to really give them an idea of what they're getting from us. So any suggestions on how to answer that question on a phone call before I've gone through the whole sales pitch?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're already on the right track. I mean, based on what you had sent over in the questionnaire, I would say, yeah, thanks for asking, because they should ask, right? They're not educated enough on what you do or what other fitness businesses do in many cases to know what else to ask. So yeah, we've got programs that range from, you know, around $100 a month up to programs that are $390 a month. And basically what we try to do is help somebody find the right fit for their schedule, their goals, and their budget.
Oh, good. That's mostly what I say. Maybe not that eloquently, but that's what I say.
It's a valid question because they don't know what else to ask. But, you know, if somebody is turned off by something that's $100, $120 a month, whatever that bottom pricing is to you, then, you know, then it's probably not a great fit for them because they're looking for, you know, something that you're just not going to be happy with delivering.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I would give them that. And if they feel like that sticker shock, that's okay. They may be great, but they're not a great fit.
Right, exactly. And then how easy is too easy? So I feel like maybe there was a post about this or I saw this somewhere or an email of yours. When we're, you know, getting new clients and new prospects, you want to make it easy for people in a way, right? Because if they're interested and they're asking, like, let's not, if you have to jump through hoops, people are going to be like, this is too much work. But at the same time, I don't want it to be too easy because, again, you're looking for someone who recognizes that this is an investment, it's a long-term thing, and we want to make sure we're getting the right person. So how easy is too easy? Right now we do, they contact us through the website or they call us or what have you. I try to get them on a call. Sometimes that can't happen for a couple days. Then I bring them in person. We do the screen and or the movement screen. And then I kind of give them the pitch and either they sign up or they don't. Do you think that's too many hurdles?
No, okay. No. I don't think that's hard. I mean, for me, easy means their first interaction with you, they don't have to show up in your facility. They don't have to go through a workout. So that's frankly, if you just said, okay, come straight in. So they can get to know you a little bit without feeling like, oh, I've got to go to this gym. And maybe the last gym I went to, they just hard sold me and it was a really unpleasant experience. So to me, that's a nice intermediate step that allows them to say, yeah, this is worth me taking the next step.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, that's what we're basically trying to do is give them a chance to kind of feel it out before, you know, they have to commit too much to anything.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if we just think about relationships in general, there's usually kind of a process. I don't care if we're talking about dating or a friend or whatever else. I mean, my 8-year-old probably gets along with somebody on the playground before they decide to say, let's have a play date or a sleepover, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just kind of a natural progression, and that's a natural kind of intermediate step before they actually come to your place.
Awesome. I think that's all. I'll keep asking questions all day, so you better cut me off. But yeah, this has been really, really helpful.
Well, good. I'm glad we got to do it. And no, this was good. And I think a lot of this stuff is very similar to the questions that a lot of people have. So I'm glad we were able to dig into some things that I know I'll be a benefit to a lot of people.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and thanks to everybody for listening in to another episode of the Ideal Business Show.
Thanks again for checking out another episode of the Ideal Business Show. Let me tell you about 4 different ways that I can help you build your own ideal business, and you'll be able to find more information about all of these in the show notes. First, you can complete the Ideal Business Scorecard. There's a proven framework for creating your ideal business, and you can find out how you score across all 8 ideal business rules by simply filling out a quick quiz. Second, you can join our Business Growth Accelerator program and become a case study. Each month, we take on a couple new clients as case studies in our BGA program where we guarantee you a $4,000 a month increase in recurring revenue. If you'd like to work with me, Justin Yule, Fred Zoller, and build your clientele and recurring revenue, check out the link in the show notes. Third, you can become part of our exclusive Ideal Business Academy coaching group. My favorite thing to do professionally is to help entrepreneurs like you build your own ideal business. If you'd like to learn more about how we can work together to make that happen, go to the show notes and click the link, Ideal Business Academy. And then finally, fourth, you can join our Fitness Lead Academy. If you feel like you need more leads for your business, but you don't want to pay for an agency to run your ads, just click on the Fitness Lead Academy link and learn more. We'll be opening territories again soon, and those who fill in the form will be at the front of the line to secure their own location.